Behavioral Health Integrations podcast strives to inspire the next generation of mental health and addiction specialists. Our aim is to continue to raise awareness and encourage collaboration in the mental health and addiction industry so that it will continue to thrive. There are numerous approaches to treating mental health and substance abuse issues. On this show, we take pleasure in showcasing the diversity of these approaches used to improve the lives of others. So without further ado, your host, Jacob Minnig.
It is also important to know that you must be a follower of Justin's to be eligible to receive the book, which means you have to follow him on Instagram, which I will put that link on my show notes. Again, I'm very excited to have Justin on as we discuss in this episode what we really think about the mental health and addiction field, what are some of the issues we've had in the past regarding it, how did we get through it, regarding issues with our clients, issues with our coworkers, and just the mental health system in general. So without further ado, let's get started.
Hey, Justin.
Hey there, how are you?
Good, how are you, sir?
Good, doing fantastic.
Excellent.
How was your holiday and everything?
Oh, good. No issues. It was good. How about you?
No, it was fantastic. It was really good. It was pretty chill. We had like three houses we went to between my wife's family and then my own family. So that was fun.
Mm-hmm. I hear you. Where are you located again? I forgot.
I'm located right outside of Detroit.
Okay. Nice.
And then what about you?
I'm in Minnesota. So yeah, in the Midwest.
That's awesome. I actually am planning a trip to Minnesota soon, actually.
Oh, where at?
Mall of America.
Oh, sweet. That's always good. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's weird. I haven't really been there since COVID, so it's been a few years.
Oh my God. Yeah, I've always wanted to go there. And then me and my family were going to go in like 2020. And of course, We all know what happened in 2020. And then That got put on hold. So I'd really like to go like within the next year or so. I think I want to go.
Okay. Yeah, you should. You should definitely.
Yeah, that's kind of my idea. So that's kind of like the idea of where I wanted to go with. And the reason I want to go this way is because it kind of involves my story of being a therapist and a content creator, which from the professional 9-to-5 agency standpoint, they usually 9 times out of 10 don't want you doing that. So I think there's just an evolution between not even just dress and attitude and how you present yourself, but also our online presence is really changing since the pandemic. I got fired back in March. When I got fired back in March, I was already part of a private practice, but I was kind of like, not really in it because it's not a set check, so I was like, whatever, this is gonna be like my side money, whatever type thing. Mm-hmm. I knew eventually I wanted to do it full-time, but I kind of was in that position of like, okay, I'll be here for a couple years and whatever. And I got fired unexpectedly, like kind of blindsided actually, and the only reason they really gave was for professionalism. They didn't really even give they didn't give me like anything specific. I'm insightful enough to know what three or four things it probably could have been, but At the end of the day, like, I was just like, okay. And at that point, my TikTok was already blowing up too. So it was kind of like this weird mesh of things. But I mean, fast forward to that, between getting fired and then I ended up getting a new job 3 days later that I quit 6 weeks later because my TikTok had blown up so much. And I was just already so sick of this job with the ethics there and ethical violations and just so many odd things. But at that point, people were finding me and they were requesting me and they were finding my website and they were finding my group practice stuff and everything, right? And so like at that point, I was already getting therapy leads and even consulting stuff from some people. I got a few consulting leads from this as well. And so that just let me leave the 9-to-5 and be able to do more of a private practice route. Now I'm kind of developing my own thing too.
We could talk about this after, but you're so right about the whole social media and work where – my situation was a little bit different. I ended up quitting, but I told my coworkers about my podcast and some of management. And I mean, looking back at it now, I regret it, but it got to the point where like the owner wanted to be involved in it. And I'm like, okay. And he wanted to be like a special guest on my show. And then he wanted me to, I think he actually wanted to like be a part of my podcast, like a chunk of it. It's like, dude, you're not getting shit out of this, dude. I'll be nice. Make sure you're a guest or whatever. Maybe do some marketing. But no, you're not taking any piece of my podcast. So he assigned me, or he asked me, like, hey, how about you do this, that, this, and that media stuff for us, for the company? And I was like, well, I'm not doing anything until you give me money, extra money.
Yeah, absolutely.
And he totally wanted me to do all that for free on my own time with the company.
I don't know what it is with our field where they think that because you have a talent and you're already here, like, we're just going to have you, like, do extra unpaid work because you already have that. I don't understand that at all. Because in what sense of any other industry would you ever see that either, though?
I didn't know what his mindset was. So I talked to my program director because she had no idea the owner was trying to do this with me. And she thought it was really weird. But she kind of, I mean, she talked to the owner about my podcast, but she's like, Jake, you know, I'm just getting the feeling he's not going to give you any money. He's going to have you do this. So I didn't get back to him. Mm-hmm. So then 2 weeks later, he calls me into the office with my program director. So I'm thinking, oh, he's going to maybe give me some money about the podcast stuff or media. Nope. He's just like, hey, so I haven't heard from you in a week and a half, so I'm going to assume that's a no. Like, you don't want to do this. And I go, you know, Christian, you're right. I'm sorry. I should have came to you and at least told you no, but I had a feeling I was going to ask you for something you weren't going to give me. And then the director kind of stepped in and said, yeah, he wanted compensation. And the owner was like, yeah, you know, we can always talk about that stuff, but yeah, no, I wasn't going to give you any compensation. I'm like, there you go. There you go.
I mean, how was he shocked? Like, I don't get it. Like, I don't even understand how this is a conversation.
He feels like the counselors don't use their time appropriately. Because he's just kind of like wondering, well, what do they do after groups at noon? And it's like, we're freaking working, doing paperwork, dude. So in that meeting, he's like, and I've done like a production report on you for the last month. So he's just telling me, so you've only done this many hours of groups, this many hours of assessments, and we can't justify paying you your salary if that's all you're going to do. And they're trying to make it seem like it's not my fault, because it's not my fault that you don't have enough work for me.
Right.
So he's like, you know, so I'm getting pissed off in the meeting, and I'm just like, I interrupt him. I'm like, okay, so do you want to be going on a part-time or what's the deal? He's like, well, yeah, that's going to be one of your options. So you're going to lose your benefits. You're going to do this and that. And pretty much he gave me the option of either being a contractor or a part-time worker.
That's so fucked up though. Like, honest to God, like, can I swear in here?
Please. Yes. Please. Yes.
Okay. Okay. Cause I was like, oh God, maybe cause I will go off on a tangent. I swear to God. That's so fucked up though. Like, my whole thing is like I don't understand how some of these owners really act and whatnot, but you know what? This is a big reason why when I talk to therapists, I really try to get more therapists on board with the fee for service route, because my whole thing is I've currently went from a place where I was afraid to have a set check, because if somebody, like, let's say someone cancels on a fee for service, like contractual role, whatever, right? Mm-hmm. Then you're not getting paid for that unless, of course, like, you have like a cancellation policy in place, whatever. So, and then you have to figure it out for yourself. And depending on something, how your contract's written, you might not be even able to do that as an independent contractor. It just really depends, right? So one of the things I tell people is that the least amount of money that I've made since going full time with myself has been about $6,000 pre-tax. You mark that down to 4 or 5. Like, I've never seen a monthly check like that ever, pre or post-tax in any sort of anything. I can pay my own benefits. Okay, I can pay my own health insurance. I can pay my own Roth IRA. I can make my own path for myself. And I think the problem is that we've been so conditioned by our parents and our family to think that there's a one track route, and that is you're going to go the 9-to-5 route. Or because a lot of our parents worked in factories, they may have worked in food industries or retail or stuff like that. So a lot of the reasons why a lot of us, I'm speaking as someone from a first generation college grad, just for the record though. So like a lot of us really hear these messages and we think, okay, well, we're going to go get a job and we think it's better because we're working 40 hours at a desk versus our parents who did 40 hours on their feet. And at its core, that technically is better until you factor in that these agencies actually ask you for free labor. You're never going to hear a plant ask you for free labor. They're going to ask you for a hell of a lot of overtime, but they're going to pay you for it. You're never gonna hear a plant put you in an unethical situation ever of, I need you to document something like this and make it seem like X, Y, and Z, and now you're compromising whatever professional license you have. You're never gonna have that at those type of roles, right? And so a lot of us are now about 2, 3, 4 years in, 5 years in, and we feel duped and we're leaving these agencies
that's me.
And we're jumping to other agencies. Yeah.
I mean, I graduated close to 3 years ago, so I'm kind of in that market right there that you just told about. And yeah, I definitely feel that way. It's like, was getting a master's even worth it?
Well, it is, you know, it is worth it once you actually kind of like learn the tools as far as like making your own path and making yourself, you know, known out in the world, right? But if you're going to rely on, I'd say that, and I'm not saying this about every single agency, because every time I say this on my TikTok or anything, I say this on my Instagram or anything, I always get social workers especially. I don't know what, because you're, what are you?
LPCC route.
Okay, I never hear this from anybody but social workers for some reason, in the sense of they will ride or die for these nonprofits. And I don't understand it. Like, it's such a weird, bizarre thing.
We do it too.
You will too?
Yeah.
You're the first I've met. Because because every psychologist, every counselor I've met so far, they've either been more money focused or they've been more life-work balance focused. And social workers just seem to give everything. But like, I've never met that yet.
You'd really like my episode on fixing the mental health system. It was somewhat recent with two women I did it with. We talk about just that stuff, but not just like social workers, but like the whole mental health field in general. Mm-hmm. Of like, I always feel like we're the ones to jump on the bomb and take it for the team. And you know, why can't we have a good salary, good benefits, and be happy? Kind of like teachers. In a sense.
Oh my God. Okay, so how much do you do on TikTok? Like, I know you just said you wanted to like do stuff on TikTok, but like, how active are you just like as a consumer?
I'm very active, like looking at other people's videos and stuff like that. Yeah.
Okay. So have you seen like the TikToks of like the teachers like leaving in drones like for tech? Have you seen that yet? Oh my God. Every other day, I always see at least a few teachers that are leaving to go into the tech industry. Yeah. And they're going into things like, they're going into like corporate training. They're going into like policy and procedures.
Okay.
They're going into actual consulting and sales. And they're using their teaching skills. And they're taking those transferable skills to go into this industry that you would have never imagined them going into. And they're like quadrupling their salaries.
Oh, I don't blame them. I don't blame them.
Yeah.
All right, I recently had a talk with the president of Hazleton, and it's just like they wonder why people leave the therapy field and like go into something like insurance. You know, why make shit pay and deal with stress all day and just sell insurance? I'm not saying insurance salesmen don't go through stress.
Right.
But I can imagine the salary is so much better. The work-life balance is better. Like,
Wait, I want to make sure I heard you right. You said like people are leaving like Hamilton like to go to insurance. Is that what you said?
That's a hypothetical. I mean, I know some are for sure, but that's like a hypothetical example.
I know
a lot of people actually that are leaving the mental health field though, too, because it's too stressful. And they're going back to their old jobs like being waitress.
A lot of them are. And what I find that's really funny is like, and it's funny that you said that, because I know a therapist who actually is a bartender right now. A former therapist, they became a bartender. And they literally took all their skills they learned from grad school and being a therapist, and they took them into being a bartender.
Because it takes, that actually like, worked out well, though. I can see that.
I can see it, too. Dude, oh, my God.
Dude, that's a sitcom from a TV show.
Yeah.
We can make that into a sitcom.
Oh, my God. We can make that into a reality. Oh my God.
That is an amazing sitcom.
We could do that.
I don't know what we could easily think of someone to call it.
I don't know.
Every episode, the guy's like, I'm a former therapist. All right, I'll listen to you, man, but I can't, you know, I'll give you therapy advice. No, something.
I feel like people would watch that, though. And then we could use Myers Curry as like a sub character, because I'm like the therapist that, like, does TikTok videos. Like, okay, let me tell you this, because this is so funny. Okay. I have viral videos going on right now. Okay. And I literally made up this family. And it was basically for Thanksgiving clapback stuff. So I'm doing like clapback videos from Thanksgiving all the way into Christmas. And basically it's like, because Aunt Becky called me fat, like I'm going to tell Cousin Cindy that Uncle Jimmy and her daddy type shit. Mm-hmm. So like, these are going so viral right now. It's like insane. Like, I have like four videos right now that like cracked 100,000 within like a day of each other. I have one of the videos that just hit 1 million today. And then like, and these people are like demanding more of this. And it's funny because half the people know it's a joke and then half the people don't. So it's like really funny, because then I get like, I get threatened, and that's really fun because people are telling me like I'm a horrible person for ruining Cindy's life.
You're gonna
so
get,
now I have my wife like, playing Cindy and like finding out that like, you know, like now I'm like they're tagging 23andMe right now because they want me to like do an episode where like I give them a kit. They're trying to get 23andMe to like do this and whatever. And but it's like that's how I literally like people think this is so crazy, but the reason I'm even talking about this right now is like that's literally how I get my clients. And yeah. Like if I worked at like any mental health place or anything, I would be fired in like 3 minutes for this.
We need to, oh my God. Do you know the YouTube therapist Katie? You probably do Katie Mora or Morton.
Katie Morton. Yeah, I've heard of her.
I've been wanting to do a podcast and I would love it if me and you actually did this. Do you remember when she was doing the Jake Paul skit with the other really big YouTuber? Like saying Jake Paul's a psychopath or
I don't I'm you know you I'm now. Not I haven't been in tune with her as far as like all of her comments. I actually don't remember this, but I do remember there was a point where I think she helped like Eugenia Cooney ended up like getting like hooked up into something. I remember that. Like she got her into us like a psych ward or something. But I can't remember, don't quote me.
Okay. But you know Jake Paul, right?
No, I know Jake Paul, yeah.
Yeah. And tell me if you're interested. When I gotta send you the YouTube videos, it's the unethical behavior of Katie and what she did in that episode, where she was pretending to be that guy's like publicist.
Yeah.
But in reality, like the guy was hiring her because she's a therapist, and he wanted her to diagnose Jake Paul as like with some mental health disorder. I forgot what it was called. Yeah. You know that book with like the eyeballs over like the shades. Like some signs you're a psychopath or I can't think of that, but anyways, so she's going through this episode talking to Jake Paul and again pretending to be like an advertising manager for this other YouTuber when reality she's a therapist undercover diagnosing Jake Paul.
Uh-huh.
And that's why I wanted to
So she's diagnosing him, like she's basically doing a clinical assessment while tricking him to thinking she's someone else.
Yes, but she's an undercover therapist.
Okay, so like how is she diagnosing him then? Is she like going to her YouTube being like he's this or like how did that work?
She's having interactions with him and his friends and for like the past like 3 or 4 days or whatever. And I have my own thoughts about Katie and I feel like why jeopardize your career doing that when. One, I always thought she was actually very annoying, to be honest with you. She's always on YouTube, this and that. I don't like the things that she does, where she'll go on YouTube videos and just say, I'm really depressed right now. I don't know why people are so mean to me. It's just like, why the hell are you doing this on YouTube? Go to your therapist and say that.
You know what's funny? The few videos, I think it's just because I'm not like an avid, I was never like an avid watcher. Like, I found some videos of her of just like basic things. But yeah. Like, it's literally like she always seemed bland to me. Like I hate to say it like that. Yeah. She was just very like to me, like when I heard of stuff like that of her being unethical. Like, I just honestly I hate to say it like I just didn't pay attention because I'm literally like whatever.
Yeah.
Like I don't know. To me, like I worked in like places where like there was some legit shit going down. So I'm like, whatever she's doing, I honestly don't care, yeah. But I get it. It's like you know, I mean, you can't diagnose someone. Well, first of all, you can't diagnose somebody without having informed consent. That's like a whole thing. But there. there's like stupid ways around it. So like, if you end up saying things like, I don't know, this is for a video, like if it was for entertainment only or whatever, like then it's like,
yeah.
Okay, now you're like whatever. But I will tell you right now, like based on what she's doing, I will say this. The fact that she can do that and the fact that I've seen doctors who aren't famous do the things that they've done, I will say it like this, and I hope no one like misinterprets this at all. I actively don't fear for my license. And I'm gonna tell you why. Mm-hmm. Because in community mental health, especially when you first get started, they like, I don't know if you guys experience this or not, but in social work, we get it hounded from grad school all the way down to like years in working. Like, if you don't document it like this, you're gonna lose your license. If you do this, you're gonna lose your license. And they like threaten this with you. And it gets to a point where like, you're so paranoid to do anything that you don't do. So you end up actively losing like your own confidence. So you don't even like lead yourself. You start asking your supervisor and your directors for everything. And the directors already have a bias based on what the company wants them to already do. So they're telling you to do things that are ironically unethical, but you feel okay doing it because someone else is guiding you. Because if you didn't consult, then you're not going to get in trouble when you really are. I went to private practice, and like within like a month of like not having team meetings, not hearing this shit come to me every day, like I lost like 99% of that fear because I actually came to the realization that I actually know what the fuck I'm doing. Mm-hmm. And it's like, because of that, I'm like, all these things are people like, are you worried about being a content creator? Are you worried about this? I'm like, I'm not, because at the end of the day, I'm not doing anything unethical. Like I literally look at the freaking code of ethics every like at least 6 months to make sure I'm up to date on things and whatever. So it's literally like, and then I see people like violating them day in and day out. And I'm literally just sitting here like, how have you not lost your license already? So like, it's one of those things where I'm like, you have to like, I hate when I say this and people like get with me, but I think you'll get it. You have to actively try to lose your license, I feel like.
You have to actively sleep with your clients.
You have to actively, willingly, and knowingly sleep with your clients. And even then, sometimes you won't get caught. I mean, I swear to God. Like, I've seen that hundreds of times. And then you report it and nothing ever happens.
Oh my God, there's this Netflix show about this like sex therapist. It's actually somewhat based on a true story, but in real life, the guy wasn't a therapist. But there's a sex therapist who he's a regular adult, but something happened in his brain where he wasn't able to like go through like puberty, so he had like no sexual desire to be with a woman or anyone.
Yeah,
until an accident happened, and it kind of fixed the hormonal issue he was having. So then he started getting like erections, and he started getting like a lust for women. So he just started sleeping with a bunch of people, and he started like, because earlier in the episode or earlier in the movie, like he had a bunch of attractive female clients wanting to sleep with him. Again, he was ethical, but he had like no desire for sex. And but later in the episode, then he started like doing sexual things with his clients and got in trouble. And yeah, I forgot what it was called though.
Oh my God. It sounds like some Nurse Jackie shit.
Yeah. Yep. God. Oh my God. Who is that? So,
I don't care what anyone says. I love shows like that, though. Oh, I really do.
Have you?
And people say never support those shows, but I'm like, literally, like, if you don't know the freaking difference between your profession and TV, like, calm the fuck down. Like,
and who cares? It's just, it's for humor. It's a laugh. It's like,
I know. I'm just like, I can't with some of the therapists nowadays.
I know. It's bullshit. It's just they're so fucking anal. What's your TikTok handle or name?
Justin Gillespie LMSW.
All right, I should be able to easily find it then. I think mine is just behavior health integration, and literally it's just audio clips on my podcast, so at most it gets like 200-250 views.
How many times a day are you posting?
Not even that much. I'm posting like maybe once a week.
Oh, you need to get at least on the twice a day bandwagon, because you're not going to grow on TikTok. And I'm going to tell you why you won't grow on TikTok without it, because TikTok is an app where their algorithm is designed for active users. Okay. So they basically categorize you like either you're a content creator in their algorithm or you're a consumer. So if you're a consumer, they're not going to push you onto the For You page. So these are the people kind of like me. We're posting 2 to 3 or 4 times a day. Now, mind you, like that sounds like a lot, right? I probably posted at least 15 times in a day. Like it sounds like a lot. It's not once you actually start doing it.
You gotta teach me how to do that, because I don't really know what to do.
I will. I'll give you some starter tips right now, and then hopefully maybe some people who are looking to build their brand on as like a therapist, maybe they can learn this, right? So through TikTok, what you got to do is you have to come out as authentic, right? So the thing about TikTok is it's an app of discovery, not of community. So if you want to build a community, you have to work extra hard for it, right? So part of that is actually showing your face, actually showing up, actually speaking. And that's great to have audio clips and things like that. There's so many features in TikTok that can help you build an audience that feels more connected. So for instance, you could put that audio clip up, and you have the little thing playing, and then there's a green screen effect in TikTok that's built in. So you don't need equipment or anything for this. And you can just zoom yourself into the video while it's playing, and you can point, you can make things happen. Uh-huh. You can say things, you can put pictures behind you in a background to like show statistics if you want to make like a slide video. But the point is to make the audience really engaged. Now, the other part of it too is that you want to create content that is consumable and provides a lot of information. So that means either you want to educate your audience, you want to inspire, excuse me, you want to educate, you want to inspire, or, oh God, what is the third word I always say? I'm like blanking. It's like so late right now. Educate, inspire, or entertain. That's the one we're doing. So right now, like for Christmas, like I already know, like people like are getting fucked up with their families and shit like that. Mm-hmm. And they're like not wanting to see their families. So that's why I'm doing the clapback videos right now, because like, okay, it seems like so off brand, but it's like a strategic way to entertain people from Thanksgiving weekend up until like Christmas weekend. And then after that, we're going to have New Year's weekend and things like that. So you like, so pretty much half of my content is going to be that. The other half is going to be my stuff with ADHD again. So mm-hmm. right now what's happening is I'm having the viral videos come in, which now since people are liking them and they're commenting and whatnot, then what happens, that puts me on their For You page. So what that means is when I post again, they're going to often see me pop up again because they've already interacted with me. You know, it's not, I mean, so here's why I like TikTok over things like Instagram too, because they have a lot of different features. Like once you unlock them, like for instance, you have to get 1,000 followers first to unlock the live feature, which incentivizes you to post more.
Yep.
So you end up actually building an audience as you unlock things anyway. So one of the things that I did as soon as I unlocked the live feature, I started going live at least ever like once or twice a week for like 10 minutes. And then during the summer up until my wedding, I actually just randomly went live every day for okay. 10 minutes, 5 minutes. I went live for an hour once, but you just build it up. And so what ended up happening is I built 10,000 followers in a year. Okay. And then what happened was, so from June to May is when I got the first 10,000. From May to August, because I went live every single day, I built up an audience of 20,000 people. So I doubled it already. Wow. Right. And now we just hit 25K like literally today. And I think we're at 26 or 27 now. So probably by the end of the year, I might be at 30.
Nice.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So the way you do this every day is, if you think about it, if you were to post a YouTube video, right, yep, that YouTube video would be on, would probably be 5, 10, 15, 20 minutes, maybe even 40 minutes, depending on what you're talking about, on one topic, and you film it the whole way through, and then you're editing it, and you're putting it out, and you're doing all these things to the video, right? It's probably going to take a whole week to get that video out, right? If you're on TikTok, you're doing 100 different topics, but you're talking about the base level of those 100 little things, right? Mm-hmm. So I could easily talk about things going on. I can talk about the news going on. I can talk about what's going on with ADHD. I could talk about, yeah, my big thing before was toxic parents. I would go on a whole thing about toxic parents, yep, and that got people in. And then just, that was really fun when I got the toxic parents mixed with the ADHD crowd. They had like a mix. That was really fun.
Yep.
Because I have a bunch of those now. So, but yeah, like, and I mean, but that's really how you do it. Like, I know it sounds like a lot, but like once you get used to it, I'll put it this way. If you're not someone who's used to social media, it is going to be hard. But if you're someone who's already used social media, if you're posting on Instagram, if you're posting on stories and stuff like that already, then TikTok is basically built like an Instagram story, if that makes sense. Because it's shorter mm-hmm. content that you're absorbing really fast.
Mm-hmm. Well, actually, what I've been doing too is YouTube reaction videos. Because I don't know mm-hmm. if you ever heard of like Psychology in Seattle, that guy, Kirk Honda.
I'm going to have to look him up right now. Oh my God. Yeah. Talk about him real quick.
Do you know? Yeah. He was my first inspiration to do like therapist reaction. Cause I first heard of his podcast, and like 3 years ago, I saw that he started doing like reaction, like Love Is Blind reaction videos. And I,
yeah,
one, he's just really good. He's really good from a therapeutic lens, and just how he interprets like certain things. That's what really got me interested in doing that.
Oh, I see. Oh, I see him right here. Yep. I got him.
Yep.
Okay, I'm going to watch him later. He looks really funny.
You should see his Amber Heard and Johnny Depp one.
Oh my God. He has some, okay, I'm seeing this one. He has like 90 Day Fiancé stuff. Yep.
He's really good.
I love this one. All right, I love this guy already.
So it's like, okay, I'm trying to copy kind of like his style with my own flow, you know what I mean?
I think that's the thing too. Like, you have to get your own flow, and you have to really get camera confident. And that's the thing that I really like about TikTok, is the fact that you can be anything you really want to be on TikTok. YouTube, you almost got to figure out your persona. You got to like mold it a little bit more. And my goal actually in 2023 is to start doing YouTube, because I've tried YouTube before, and I don't have anything against YouTube. I actually would love to be a YouTuber, but like I have so much ADHD that I cannot sit and just edit myself for hours. So I'm trying to figure out how I can just film, and then like I'm trying to see if I can just hire like a video editor at this point, because I'm just like, I need to get it out or whatever. But like with TikTok, I love it, because if I get tired of like spewing facts and I get tired of spewing statistics, and I get tired of talking about my niche, I can switch it up for a little bit easier, because the thing about TikTok, again, it's an app of discovery. It's not really app of community. So in about 1 week, nobody's going to know those videos even existed. Like, most people aren't going to scroll down my TikTok page and go and find them. They're looking for kind of like, they're doing my videos one of two ways. Most people are finding your videos on the For You page. And then the other 10 or 20%, they're going to find your videos if they're SEO friendly. So for those who don't know what that means, that's search engine optimization. It's basically how Google finds you. It's basically how all these different platforms will find you. It's how you find YouTube videos. And so that's why I make a lot of how-to videos, or how to navigate life with ADHD, or how to improve your executive functioning skills, right? Because probably that's what people are typing into the TikTok search bar, which is going to boost my ratings.
Oh, yeah. So if I wanted to make money on YouTube, like, how does that work? Do I need to get like a million views to like make money, or how, like,
for YouTube? TikTok is weird. So here's what I'm going to say about TikTok. If you're going to go on TikTok, do not worry about the money you're going to get from TikTok. And I'm going to explain what this means, because it sounds hella like nonprofit. Like, don't worry about the money, worry about the passion. But I'm going to tell you why this matters in a minute. Because what you're going to do with that is, you're probably, if you do well on TikTok and you post consistently and you start building an audience, then one of two things is going to happen. Either one, you're going to start getting brand deals. I've had 12 brand deals in the last year come to me to work with me on different things. I've had everything from like mental health companies to work with me to different stores that like wanted to work with me that had to do with like ADHD fidget stuff and stuff like that. I've turned them all down because they just had weird offers. Or just
I had one spot. Have you ever heard of Calmigo?
No, I never heard of them.
Yeah. It's like an inhaler, like anxiety device.
Are you kidding me? They have these?
Yeah, it's so you do this, and so
wait. So it sounds like an inhaler, and it stops your anxiety.
Correct.
What's in it?
So there's like a peppermint scent thing, like right here. So you breathe in; it's very therapeutic. So it really teaches you how to do good inhalation, exhalation type breathing to, again, manage your anxiety. So if you're going through an anxiety attack, you blow to all three lights. Light up, and then it vibrates, and then that's when you know to like inhale again and then exhale to the three. So it gets a hold of your breathing patterns, and you constantly try to like repeat the same breathing pattern over and over again.
I kind of love that, actually.
Yeah, you should check it out.
Oh my god, I'm gonna have to check this thing out. Oh my god, that's so crazy. But yeah, for YouTube, for TikTok, I mean, you have to get like a certain amount of followers to get on there. So I want to say, see, it's been so long since I tried to look this up, I can't remember now, but I want to say you have to get 10,000, I think it's 10,000 followers. I'm gonna look it up while we're talking just to make sure. Okay. I want to say it's $10,000. It's 10,000 followers to actually get monetized on TikTok, and then it's like a certain amount of watch time, and then it's like 1,000 followers to actually go live. 1,000 for a live, I know that's true. And that's actually really good promoting an audience. Let me look on here. How many followers do I need to get on the TikTok creator fund? Now, so, I'm gonna tell you why you don't need to work this. Okay, go ahead.
No, like, yeah, I don't know if it's like...
It's 10,000. It is 10,000. So you got to get 10,000 to actually get into the creator fund. Now, here's the thing about the creator fund. So TikTok stays on some fuck shit for me for some reason, because the other thing about TikTok is they say that you have to be over age 18. Now, how old do I look?
Over 18.
Yeah, I look over 18. Okay. TikTok has been telling me for a year I'm not of the age of 18. I can't get into the creator fund. I have sent TikTok my ID, I think, at least 5 times. They've messaged me back. They said it's been fixed. I don't know what the deal is, because they'll say it's fixed, and then all of a sudden I still can't get into the creator fund because it says I'm age restricted. And then I know I'm also age restricted, because occasionally a video on my For You page will pop up and it'll block it and say that it's age restricted from seeing this content.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I know. So it's like, it's just weird. So to me, what I tell people is this: it's not like YouTube where you want to aspire to ads, which I also tell people this for YouTube. I wouldn't even aspire to ads or anything like that, because the thing about that too is that if you're going to do good on YouTube, to get monetized on YouTube, not only you need a certain amount of watch time, and you need a certain amount of hours too, but just like TikTok does this too, right? Because they're infamous for taking people down for stuff. I just got hit with a violation for bullying when I was talking about my own video.
Oh
So
no.
ain't that something? But like the thing about
I got banned from TikTok. Not banned, but like suspended, because my title said PTSD and substance use disorder on veterans. Like I feel I'm a huge supporter of veterans, and my thesis was actually on veterans with substance use disorder, whatever. So they're trying to say like I was mimicking or making fun of like veterans with substance use. It's like, no, you fucking morons. I support them and their struggles.
I, you know what, from the
Oh, I was
research I've done on
curious.
TikTok, the thing with TikTok is they don't have anybody who's actually monitoring what they do. So I don't know if you notice this or not, but like what'll happen is when you end up posting a video, they'll take it down within like 2 to 5 minutes of you. There's no one reporting it, because what they're doing is they're actually scanning what you put into the video and what you actually typed in. And if enough keywords pop up, they just flag it and they ban it. And then that's why you have the appeal process, because then what happens is they look for the video. They when you appeal it, it prompts somebody on their staff to actually look for it, which actually saves them money, ironically. So they end up take they most of the my appeals I've ever had, I've had like five stupid little violations or whatever on my page. I've had them all removed except for one recently. They recently told me that I was bullying in my live, where again, this has to do with the fake family I've created for my own TikTok skit. So that doesn't exist. So, but they're saying because I use bullying language about a
Oh my
hypothetical
God.
family, it's like, yeah, I'm like, oh my God, okay, whatever. But point being, like, even whether it's TikTok or YouTube, what I always tell people is if you're gonna rely on ads, you're gonna be playing by their rules so much, and it's gonna be a game of mental gymnastics. And if you're fine with that, and that's what you want your gig to be, if you want to be literally a YouTuber and get paid, then that's fine. You can master that in time. You could bring in eventually full-time checks from ads as time goes on, if you're willing to put in the work and you're willing to play by their rules. To me, I don't want to play by their rules. I want to offer my own services, my own things, and I make money that way. You know, I don't think that to, because also part of me just wanting to get in the private practice and start my own thing. I don't want to be limited with the money I can be made, and I don't want to be told what to do, really.
Exactly. That's what it's about, man. Freedom.
I've like had the most mental peace since like since May when I did this full time. Like I've had the most mental peace I think I've ever had in my
Oh, I
life and in
bet.
my career. Yeah. Oh my God. Like there's like I feel like there's like nothing like I can't like, and I've had some weird stuff happen too, where it was like, wow, I really benefit from having a supervisor with this right now, because I could talk that through or get it through, whatever. And I was literally like, damn, like I gotta figure this one out for myself, or I gotta like find someone to get me through this or whatever. And it ironically like made me realize like how much I knew how to handle myself.
Well, and you know what? Another factor is like, I mean, it's when you're trying to be creative, what are your intentions? Where me podcasting, I would never assume that I would ever do this and make enough money to live off of. I've always just at most wanted it to be like more of a side hustle, like maybe $200 a week, $100 a week. And I was content with that. And I still am nowhere close to even getting there, but that's what I'm content with.
But you know what's really funny is like that's literally how we're conditioned to think, like in our actual fields of just human service and therapy and psychology and social work, all that. Like all these like little helping for we're conditioned to like think that anything we do outside of this has to be a side hustle, because we're conditioned to think that we're not gonna be good enough to do anything else on our own. Because what we've seen is we've seen these big organizations get formed, and you see like these nonprofits have been around for 10, 20, 30, 40 years. And, you know, I think a lot of people like just dismiss it off because it's like they don't know how to do that. They can't do that. That's too big. But the way I kind of always looked at it, even early in my career, like I knew I always wanted to do something on my own. I didn't really know what. But like even before I had like a bitterness for it, I always looked at it as like, well, someone created this. So like, so to me, I was so to me when I took on those extra projects and I did that free labor that we all do or whatnot, I did it strategically. I did it with the fact of like I know they're taking advantage of me. I know they're exploiting me. So why don't I take advantage of the fact that they want to exploit me and take on more projects and learn the ins and outs of everything. And so I literally learned how to, I learned just by being nosy, you know, how do grants work? How do you get contracts with the court so the courts in some states, you know, pay you for your services if you want to be a court ordered therapist. I worked for a telehealth company for a while, and that's where I learned a lot about social media and branding and marketing. And it's really funny because, like, I actually wanted to all since I was like 14, I want to be a content creator. Like, that's just something I've always wanted to do. I think my generation always wanted to do that. Actually, that's not really unique to me. I think we also want to be on YouTube. Mm-hmm. So, like, but that's something I've always wanted to do. So when I got to work for this company that was like, they were getting on all these podcasts and they were creating this content and they were creating these cool graphics. And I thought these were like expert design, the designers making these things, right? I'm telling y'all now in 2022, like any design you see that's out there right now, I'm telling you right now, if you think of a graphic designer, it's someone with a Canva Pro account that made that shit from a template and changed the colors. And I figured this out because like when I worked for this organization, I worked for this organization and like I just thought their marketing director, their flyers were just amazing. I was like, wow, I've never seen things like this. I've never seen presentations like this. It's so amazing. These little detailed graphics. And then I like got on Canva to like start doing this stuff. And like half their templates came from like the default section homepage. Mm-hmm. And I was like, bam. And I literally just sat there like, this is all like, ladies and gentlemen, y'all can end this podcast now because I'm gonna tell you all you need to do to start a company right now is all you need is a Canva Pro account and you can just start.
The things that you can do.
Google Meet to meet anybody is free if you don't want to pay for Zoom. So go get that. And your LLC might pay a little bit of money too. If you don't want to do that, be a sole proprietor for a little bit. That's all you need right now to get started.
I think you need good guidance too when you start in this business of social media where yeah, Caroline really helped me out. She kind of like let me know what my mistakes were, my flaws were. Because I've also heard people give not bad advice, but have you ever heard of Jocko Willink? He goes up with Joe Rogan. He's like a big time Navy SEAL guy, inspiration guy. Like you would never ever hear quit come out of this man's words. But and he has a podcast. He has a very successful podcast. But he's talking about like the new podcasters of today, and he's like, you know, if you're doing a podcast for 6 months and it doesn't get a lot of traction and you want to quit, that's probably a good idea. And I was just like, it's weird because I understood what he meant, but just again, hearing the word quit come out of this man's mouth was shocking.
Baffling. Yeah.
But he's like, and he explained why. He's just like, podcasting is so hard nowadays, where when I started 15 years ago with Joe Rogan, it was easy because one, I got a lot of help, and two, there's hardly any podcasters. So he's saying you could actually have a really good podcast and it's still not getting any traction.
But that's also why like people right now are jumping on the TikTok bandwagon too, because like I feel like TikTok has finally gotten to a point where it's very, very popular now. But like last year it was still popular, but there wasn't a lot of people actually creating content. There was a lot of people consuming content, right? When I jumped in, like, I mean, given, I don't want to sit here and act like I have a ton of followers. Like, I'm sure some people will laugh at my show. I know people with like 200,000 followers. I have like 20. I just got 25,000 today. But in the therapy space, what I know is when I tell people I got 25,000 followers, therapists are intimidated by that. Like, they think it's scary.
Well, do you see? And that's another thing too. Like, I don't see a lot of therapist TikTokers.
They're scared to. They don't. They're scared to put themselves out there. They're scared of getting a HIPAA violation. They're scared of all these things, and I see why they're scared of it, right? I think the big thing to know is like I'm not about to go tell my clients business on my TikTok,
right?
I don't know. Like, I think using the common sense method of this is really good. Like, to me, if you're not going to put it on your Facebook, you're not going to put it on TikTok. The only difference between Facebook and TikTok is that it's a video. That's all it is.
Yeah, and I don't know. The only thing I worry about, and again, going back to that Katie Moore or Morton video, like one, the whole Jake Paul thing, I think is going to or has ruined her career. And two, the whole like, I'm sad, I'm depressed. Like, if I were her client and I saw my therapist on YouTube saying like she's not doing well and depressed, I would be more concerned about her, but I shouldn't be because I'm the client. Like, you should help me out, but then I see you're crying and that you're going through shit. You know
what's funny though is like I feel like that is like I feel like that's I don't know if it's an age gap thing or a generation thing. Like what how old are you?
36.
Okay, so I'm 28, and so I'm like I feel like there's like a weird thing when it comes to the younger generation versus the older generation.
Like
because
Gen
like the
Z
older generation, like they don't want to see their therapist like that. They don't want to. The younger, they're the exact opposite. The younger people, they want to see that shit. They want to see something real. They want to see something. Yeah, they do, right? And I'm not saying. Oh, and by the way, just for the record, like I'm not saying I'm out here like out here crying on YouTube or TikTok or anything. Like
oh right, right.
That shit. But like I do, but I do talk, and sometimes I'll show it too. Like I'll show like some of my ADHD struggles. Like this is my house today because my executive functioning is just really fucking stupid right now, right?
Which was your
human but like, yeah, exactly, right? Or if I have like let's say I talk about, there's like one I talked about recently where I talked about rejection sensitivity dysphoria. Have you heard of this before? Okay, yes. So I talked about this because that's a big thing with ADHD, where like basically you interpret any sort of feedback or redirection or rejection as more extra more bad than the regular person would interpret it, really. And well, so I had ADHD, and so I had
ADHD, so I could actually relate.
Oh shit. Okay, great. Awesome. So I don't got an ADHD spoiling this shit. Awesome.
Yeah.
I had a really bad RSD day and I forget what it was. It was literally like I forget what the hell it even was. It had something to do with work and some things happened and somebody said something and it was just like something basic. It was like, hey, make sure you put this in your thing or something. And I just like analyzed it the whole day. Yep. And then on top of it, like I had to go make a copy of something later. And this is so fucking stupid, but like I had to go make a copy of something later. And so there was someone using the copier and we're in a small room. So my brain immediately overthinks and it goes like,
yep.
Do they think I'm weird standing over them? Should I leave? Should I stay? Do I need to wait my turn? And then like, you know how like you overthink and then they say something and then you just don't have words anymore?
Yep.
Like and you all just time. Can't speak. So you're literally trying, yeah, exactly. So then I fucked up that. And then I just thought about these two or three things the rest of the day. And it literally made me cry, actually. Like it made me just like feel so bad about myself. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I decided back in like January or February, I was just like, fuck it. Let me just record this real quick to show people what the fuck this shit's like. And mm-hmm. then, you know, it like and people were just like going ape shit about it on my page and they were loving it and I'm like and that wasn't even really the point of the video. It was just literally I wasn't even trying to get attention, but I just want to show people like what the fuck RSD does to you and this is how I'm trying to manage it like right now, right? But it's like but that's what I'm saying. It's like most of my clients too, like I either have younger clients or I have parent or not parents, I have children who have parents. So all my clients are pretty much young. They're mostly below the age of like 40. Like I can almost guarantee you, I'm not gonna have like a 65-year-old in my office. They're not gonna like me. They're just not going to, unfortunately, for the most part, I should say. But
yeah, I love the topic of ADHD because like sometimes like I'll talk to people who, and this is like the generation a little bit older than me, so we'll say like the 40-year-olds or mid-40s. Yeah. They're like, there's one nurse, or she was a LPN or whatever. I don't know. Anyways. She's like, well, I don't believe in adult ADHD because if you're, let's say, 25 years old and you have ADD, well, it's like, well, you still graduated like high school and whatever, so you don't have it. Under what basis? What are you talking about? Like, because she's trying to explain to me if you're an adult and you graduate high school, like that's good enough to be functioning. But maybe people want to be better than good enough.
You want to know what? I have a theory about that person already. I think they have ADHD.
And they're not happy with their life, or
like... I think they have ADHD and they haven't accepted their diagnosis, or people have told them they may and they just don't want to hear it. And they've gotten this far in life, and because I have a fucking master's degree, like I can't be mentally ill type shit. So it's like a superior complex. I'm just like, not to drag my mother into this, but like literally, like my mom like does not believe in ADHD, and I know that woman has it for holy shit.
Oh yeah.
Like I know she has a, I know for a fact I have it because I've had three therapists diagnose me with the shit again. Yeah. So I'm just like, yeah, this is pretty well confirmed, whatever. And I see like, we're not supposed to diagnose our families. Like that's such fucking transference.
But you can see it though. Real. You can see the behaviors.
You see everything. Okay. Yeah. It's not like I see this one thing and I'm like, okay. Because honestly, I didn't believe I had ADHD up until like, after my first year either. I thought everyone else was nuts. They never put me on medication for it. They never made me do any more therapy for it. They never got me involved with shit. I got yelled at to clean my room because I can't keep my room straight and I can't do this and that. But you're an honor student, so you can have it type shit, right? So, right. So I didn't really even accept it until I was like 23. And you know, I feared meds even up until I was about 25, because you do hear about the horror stories of medication. And I think one of the things I've learned too is, like, I think with the ADHD community, they're the most vast majority of them, they're super pro meds. And then there's like the few of them who are very anti-med. And then there's, of course, the people who are have ADHD that don't want to accept they have ADHD and they don't want nothing to do with it.
Well, it's because
but
of the
like I honestly
medications.
am, I, you know, I want to say like this too. Like, I think some stigmas with medication, especially with ADHD, I think they do exist for a reason, because I do recall being in school, I would see kids doped out. Like, they would be visibly doped out. They'd be falling out. So these things did happen. I don't think they're really happening like that in 2022, though. I don't
You'd be
think that's happening
surprised.
like it was.
So when I worked at a as a treatment center, I worked as a tech at a treatment center, and I personally take meds for it, me personally. So this kid, the 16-year-old, was taking the same meds as me, but twice, three times as much as me were. And I'll tell you this right now, honestly, this kid, I feel bad. He's a teenager, male, was 16, probably 5'11", really good shape, lean. He was taking 40 milligrams of Adderall in the morning, 40 in the afternoon, and 40 at 6 o'clock at night. And again, I'm an MD, but what the hell is that doctor thinking? Like, why does that kid need, wait, 120 milligrams of Adderall a day?
There's no the, and see that that's and see right there, that's what I'm talking about. This is why that stigma still somewhat exists still, right? Because these are the things I would see back in school, where you would see these kids just doped out, and like you would see the. I don't see that really though anymore, like in person. But I can see where that. But you know what though? Now that you, where were you working during this? Where was this at?
Adolescent treatment center.
Was this a residential place?
Yep.
Oh fuck. Okay, yeah. Because now, okay, now I gotta get into the residential shit, because I can't deal with anything resi. So okay, so this is like not something I talk about too much in my content, but this is something that does come up occasionally on my shit, so I'll talk about it real quick. So I am very anti like residential, secure residential, things like that for youth, because I worked at one for 6 months. I saw what they did to those kids, right?
Were
I
you a
saw
tech?
exactly what they was I what?
Were you a tech like me?
No, I was a therapist.
Oh, you were. Okay,
Yeah, I was
nice.
there once. Yeah.
Okay.
So I took I took a job at a residential center, and the first thing they told us in the orientation. So we did the orientation, and they were telling us, like, when you go and see the building for the first time, you know, these kids are gonna say they're locked up, they're in juvie, they're in jail. Because it was juvenile justice you. Like, you had to have like a court sentence there, and you had to have a mental ill diagnosis or whatever. So they're like, they're gonna say it's jail. This is not. We are providing them rehabilitation, and we are providing them. So, and like, you got in there, it was like they were in cells, it was a concrete room, they wore jumpsuits and they shit in front of each other. Like, it's jail. They shower in front of each other, it's jail. So I don't care how you frame it. But like,
Would you
I
guys have
see
shower
like
in
what
too?
they
You
had
were
showers
showering?
where like they had showers where like you had this little room. So like you
Okay.
maybe had like I'm in a bedroom right now. It was I don't think it was the size of this bedroom. Maybe it was the size of this bedroom. I'm not sure, but they would have two showers. I think it was like even smaller than this bedroom, actually. I don't know how many. This is like maybe a 200 square foot bedroom. So like they would have two showers in this small little space, and they'd have like a small wall divider that would like cover. They cover them up, and then they had like the two curtains, and you'd have a tech standing in the middle, so that way one couldn't jump the other one and get into the other one and do stuff like that. But they would be in this little teeny tiny concrete room. So they pretty much showered in front of each other. They had to walk in front of each other, pretty
No,
much.
but
They had to change.
do you know what a shower in is?
What's a shower in?
So the tech like myself would take two latex gloves, would put them on, right? And again, now as a therapist, I look at this and like this is so fucked. Anyways, it's messed up. So you take the boy in the shower or in the bathroom, you close the door, and you tell him to take off his clothes. And one by one, you take off his clothes, and then you're checking each clothing item for drugs or weapons or whatever. And you check everything until they're fully naked. So then you tell him to go in the shower. And then you have like a towel. You give them they're naked. No, they have their underwear on at this point. You tell them take the towel. So when they take the towel, like they take off their underwear and they slide the underwear to you and they hold the towel 6 inches or a foot in front of them. And then you tell them to do a spin, a 360 spin. So you're checking to see if they taped any drugs on them or weapons.
That is like so traumatizing though for a
If
child,
they had sex,
for
yeah,
anybody.
especially for sexual abuse.
Yeah, well, the thing is that, well, that's a lot of what those kids would experience too, like for coming in there. A lot of them, you found out their history, they were sexually abused, and now they're like re-experiencing some of all of this, right?
Yep.
And that's just like the start of it. Like, I've seen techs like literally get into fights with these kids. Like, I've seen, and it's crazy too, because you'll have techs 19, 20, 21. Some of these techs would know these kids like on the streets, okay? So, like, they would be
Yeah.
so. So this was in Detroit. So like when you're from Detroit, like everybody knows everybody in Detroit for the most part. Or if you know somebody in the neighborhood, like you know everyone in the neighborhood type
Yep.
shit, whatever. So like if you're a tech and you have no formal education and you live in the area, you probably see a lot of people you know coming into the center. And if you already have beef with that person because they fucked with you or they fucked with your brother or you did something with them, you're gonna fuck with them while you work there too.
Yeah.
And they're only doing this for, they're given, I'm a believer in only work for a check because whatever, like I feel like labor you need to be paid for. But at the same time, like that's literally how they think. It's like, well, I'm here for a check. And if you're going to fuck with me, I'm going to fuck with you type shit.
Yeah.
So it was just insanity and it was just crazy. And then like, okay, did you ever watch, okay, so did you ever watch the This Is Paris documentary ever? Did you ever hear this
I've heard
documentary?
of it, yeah. I
Okay. Yeah.
haven't seen it though.
I encourage every therapist to watch this fucking documentary because everything, like when that documentary first came out, I remember a lot of people in like the therapy community were saying like Paris Hilton was like a lot because she's an heiress, she's spoiled, she's rich, she's
Yeah.
famous, she's whatever, right? I believed everything she said. And then on top of it, this is before I met my wife and stuff like this. So like this is a whole story within a story, actually. But like I believe everything Paris said because that's a lot of what she was saying was the things that I witnessed and like when I worked in a residential program for 6
Okay.
months. And then what's really crazy is like the residential program that Paris went to, or one of them, my wife has, I think it's a cousin. She has a cousin who went to the same exact one that she went to and confirms all this shit happened.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's just one of the, I just support it. Like right now, Paris is like between doing her stuff, she's trying to pass laws to get a lot of these places shut down or inspected and having more regulations. But I'm for it all. Like I'm for every ounce
Can I
of
be
it.
honest with you? Like, I'm not a fan of residential treatment centers because I don't think they do anything. And there's a lot of different factors that go into it. Sure, the counselors can try, but they're not getting the right therapy they need, especially at, because Minnesota, we're really low on LPCCs and like mental health providers, where majority of providers for treatment centers are just L, not saying L, just LADCs, like it's meaningless, but they're limited. I'm sorry, they just really are. I mean, no disrespect. I mean, I'm an LADC right now with a master's in mental health. And to make things worse, they still go back to the parent's house where the parent is cooking a meth lab in the basement. So what chance do they have? Like, what do we? I just feel like we're not doing anything for these kids to help them.
Well, it becomes a whole societal thing if you want to break it down to it, right? Because then you have the parent who's been on drugs or had to sell drugs to make it their life because their whole family did it and they don't know any other way. And then you have this
Right.
child who's involved in generational trauma, right? And no one stepped in to protect them at this point because no one stepped in to protect their mother or father who's involved in this shit as it was. So now you send these people to the residential centers. And I'm gonna say it like this, if you look up any residential center, like honestly, like there's no, I don't know any, like even let's take a step back with it even. If you look at adults going to the residential center for like, let's say drug addiction,
Yeah.
you don't see any good results until they get out and into the community and either change the community they're in or at least get those tools that they need to go into it and they're doing ongoing treatment and ongoing therapy. That's what they need when they're in those places. The only point of a residential, I even say this for suicidal clients, I do my best not to send clients to hospitals unless they actually have a thought, a plan, and an intent. And I know state
Yeah.
by state that kind of varies what you have to do. So don't everyone take my advice right now. Go look up your own laws and shit. But in Michigan, that's mainly what you need is a thought, plan, and intent. Everything else you can safety plan, you
Yeah.
can kind of coordinate, especially when it's a child. Like you can coordinate with the parents, you can remove knives and make sure medication is locked up and make sure that's going on, things like that. But like I know so many therapists that like the second this that somebody will even say, like, oh, I'm thinking of being suicidal, but you know, nothing else there. They will just like send them immediately. And that does so much more irreparable harm,
I
not only to the
know.
therapeutic relationship, but to the progress. And it's so crazy because in 2016, I remember doing this training for God, I forget what it's called now fully, but it's like QPR. So like it's like CPR, but it's like for suicide. I can't remember what the fuck it's called, but it's basically like The whole concept of the training was like, if you ask someone about are you suicidal directly, then like they're gonna tell you immediately and they're gonna trust you. And like I look at that training now and I'm like, that is such bullshit. Like I want to see like more studies on that, because especially in the age of social media, like everybody knows what happens if you say you're suicidal to a therapist now. If you say it to a mandate reporter, you're probably gonna get locked up type shit.
Well,
And in some cases, you might not.
hasn't research shown too if you're actually more likely to like commit suicide regarding your plan, you're actually not going to say anything? Or if you do say something, like that's more of a likelihood that you're not, but maybe you're asking for like attention or maybe you're asking for help in a certain way.
Don't quote me, but I want to say yes. But
I
like
could be wrong.
then again, when you say research, it's like if you like you could okay, I hate to say it like this, like for every scholarly article or two that says that, you'll find one that says the opposite. So to me,
Exactly.
it's like it's literally like a catch 22 with it. But like that's why I like taking a person-centered approach with it too, because I think everybody's gonna do it in their own way. I think there's some people that will genuinely tell you, and then there's other people, like if you have the thought plan, they're not gonna tell you. They're
Exactly.
not. Like they're not, because they probably already tried to tell you 10 times on top of it, and
Yep,
everyone just
pat in
knows
a
somebody
passive
knows
way.
them. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. Absolutely.
I don't even know where the fuck this podcast episode went, by the way.
I know, but I like it.
We have like two therapists with ADHD here.
I
Like
know,
it's like,
but I man, I got so many ideas already.
my God.
Oh, shit. That sucks because I don't want to like delete all the stuff that we just said right now.
You can literally just make it, you can call us like ADHD like dumping ground. I don't
Banter.
know.
Well, right now, do we think about it, did we say anything that I cannot post like ethically?
I don't know. You have to
Maybe I
go
shouldn't.
through it.
Maybe I'll delete the part where my boss and my podcast. Maybe.
Wait, maybe you'll delete what?
Remember when I told you like my boss wanted to get involved in my podcast, which is awkward because we're LinkedIn friends right now, and he still likes my podcast post, and I still think it's kind of just weird. Because like passively, it's just like, dude, you got pissed at me because I said no because you won't give me money, and it's just like this unspoken thing. And oh my God. Okay, so you know what's really fucked up about that? Okay, I'll have to delete this, but so in that meeting, like I walked out of it thinking this is fucking like bullshit. So I used to be the supervisor there too. I don't want to say that I got demoted, but like I got promised a bunch of shit that was never given to me. Where like, Jake, don't worry, we'll get someone to take care of your caseload, whatever. So this is my first supervisor job. I have a caseload, I'm working my ass off, and I'm getting burnt out like hell. So then
Yeah.
at the fifth mark month mark, she's like, yeah, so Jake, we're gonna be, you know, getting rid of, we're gonna be hiring someone to take the case. I'm like, okay, good. But again, I've been moving around so much of that company, just at facility to facility, where I'm just so burnt out and I just don't care. I'll believe when I see it. So then she has the audacity to say, but I don't know, I don't even know if you want to be supervisor. I'm like, wait, what? I thought I am the
Literally.
supervisor. And she's like, I don't know, you just, it's hard to get a read on you. It's like, yeah, because you fucking had me move constantly three places, the men's house, the women's house, the men's house. You had me still have a caseload and supervising, and now you have me move back to the head facility. So yeah, I'm not going to be here with a smile on my face. I'm going to do it because it's my job, but I'm not fucking happy. So anyways, at that
Yeah.
point, I said, fuck it. So we both agreed, like, I'd just be like a mental health therapist there, whatever. So then they hire a supervisor. Where she doesn't have a caseload, she gets to write, do supervising. That's it. And so long story short, so I come out of that meeting, and the supervisor comes to me. She's really nice. She's really nice, by the way. Don't, I have no ill
Yeah.
will. He didn't do anything wrong. She's like, Jake, this is bullshit. Like, because Christian's the owner. And she's like, I heard what they have, what they are doing to you right now, and I think it's not right. You're too good of a therapist. Your documentation's great. It does not make any sense, she said. That they're doing this to you. We can afford you, Jake.
Yeah.
So now I'm going to like Ashley, like, how does the supervisor know that you guys can afford me? Yeah, you didn't say jack shit in that meeting.
Yeah.
Shady shit. Shady.
Jamie, Mary.
So then I call him out. I'm like, so I told him I'm not through email, I'm not taking the part-time or contractor job. So do with that what you will. So then they go to me, okay, we'll bring you back to full time. It's like, fuck you. And I put in my 2 weeks notice. I asked her, how much PTO do I have? I'm done.
Well, wait, well, who has time for games like that too?
He's pissed off because I wouldn't let him become part of my podcast. So then he did the monthly production report on me and did that bullshit.
But you know what's so funny too is like, okay, how old is this owner, dude? Like, how old is he?
Probably 50s.
I don't know what it is about 50 people in their 50s and 60s, but when people like go into interviews that age, like, and they find out I'm a content creator and I know how to create graphics on Canva and I know how to TikTok,
yeah,
and I know how to do a podcast, they think it's like some magical marketable skill that they couldn't learn in 10 minutes on YouTube.
Right. No, just have so YouTube, like, it's so easier.
Yeah. So yeah. Well, as soon as they hear it, yeah, they want to get part of it, because I think this is, I genuinely think this is what a lot of older people think. If you post like that publicly, or you post a podcast episode, whatever, then they think you've already like made it or something. And they have this thing in their head, yeah, where it's like that hundreds of thousands of people are listening. So now they're feeding their ego. They're feeding all these, yeah, things. And literally it's like when you first start, it's like 20 of your best friends listening to your shit. Like, to, yeah, be real. Like, that's exactly literally how it all start. But it's just funny because they'll jump on it. They'll jump on it in a heartbeat.
I'll be lucky to get like 100 episodes. Or no, I'm sorry, downloads.
Yeah, and it is what it is, right? You start this off, and that's just where it goes, and eventually one takes off. But like, they literally hear like you start a podcast, and they think it's like the most incredible thing. And we're just out here, and I guess it is, because like we're out here putting ourselves out there. But yep, listen, it's funny. They'll be on it, but they add no value. It's another thing too. I think it's like they think their title as like CEO is going to make your podcast blow up.
So, that's what he told me. No one gives a. That's exactly what he told me. Like, it would be really beneficial. He said it would be really beneficial for you to have a CEO part of your podcast. He literally said that, dude.
Does he not know about the Eat the Rich movement right now?
Apparently not.
Because literally, that's literally like, there's like a whole thing on TikTok right now where they just want to like get rid of all the CEOs and shit like that. Like, they're not going to care.
Yeah. But the worst part is like, he wanted me to do a bunch of media stuff for the company. And media interviews and stuff like that. It's like, dude, I ain't doing that shit. I didn't promise you anything. Why the fuck would I do all that for no extra money?
Right.
Oh my God, that's ridiculous.
Well, then the other thing too is that you have to dictate your podcast based on like what your boss wants. It's like,
the what's up?
It's literally like you have to dictate your podcast as to like what your actual boss wants.
Yeah, no, that's like, no, uh-uh.
Yeah, who's doing all that? Like, no one wants to do all that.
Exactly.
Like, read the room, you know what I mean?
So, okay, so dude, I didn't tell you this. So I quit that job. And so I agreed to work at this one place in Minnesota. It's called Zion Healing. Very nice people, but their ad was very misleading for the job, where I'd be like, I would do 3 days a group and I'd be their mental health guy. Well, I get in the interview and they're like, yeah, we don't have any clients and we don't have any groups set up yet. We're trying right now. And they thought I was a full LPCC. And I'm like, no, I'm almost there. This or that. But again, very nice people. They have like the TMS machine. I don't know if you ever heard of that.
Mm-hmm.
And biofeedback therapy. They have,
oh yeah, I heard of that. Yeah.
Yep. So, but again, they just started out, and but so I agreed to work there, even though like it's been 3 weeks and they still don't have any clients. Now, now this one job, who's been headhunting me for a supervisor role, so I contacted them. I'm like, yeah, what the hell? I'll talk to them. Well, they made me a good offer, so I'm gonna take it. And I'm not gonna lie, this is childish. But when I posted on LinkedIn that, you know, when you post on LinkedIn, like everybody sees like your new position. I hope the owner of Transformation House and all the management there see that.
Mm-hmm.
Just to rub in their face. And I know that's really immature and childish. And show you, hey, they're going to give me a shot. Huh?
Oh my God. Do you want to know like what I used to do? Like when I first got in the field?
What'd you do?
And this is like, okay, this is going to be the pettiest shit you ever heard. So whatever you think is childish, you don't even have to worry about this shit anymore.
Oh,
so I had an internship. I had an internship where I was at it for like 2 years. Like, I'm not even kidding. So I was there I started there like before, like my back, like before I was supposed to even do an internship. I did a volunteer thing. Then I just stayed there and we did it. And then I did my actual real internship there. So I was there for 2 years. I was there to the point where I was like training new paid staff,
wow.
Like on what to do. Okay. Which I didn't care because I thought I was going to get a job after this. I was going to have a job after, I got my bachelor's so I can just chill and, do college and my grad program. I was like, whatever. Okay. So, they literally, after I had already trained them, after I already, the bosses even like told me, like, yeah, you should like apply for a job here. I'm thinking in my head, like, yeah, I should because I already know how to fucking do this shit. But okay, cool. So, like, I do that shit. And like they were like, oh yeah, right now we're not gonna be hiring anyone, whatever, whatever. Cool. I'm like, oh, okay, right. They hired like four new people as I was like the week I was
Fuck
leaving.
you.
Yeah. So literally, I kid you not, I would like for the first 2 years of my career, because I kept like getting other job offers and leveling up, I would, the petty me that I am, I would update my resume and then I would apply to those jobs that were there at at the place I was working. And I just apply to those jobs and have them see the shit I was doing on top of it. And what's really fun, and that is so fucking petty, but I was also like 23 at this point. So
Right, yeah,
like,
you're forgiven.
to me, I'm like, look what the fuck you lost. They don't give a fuck if I live or die. You know what I mean?
So
But
you were applying
like,
there.
no, I was applying there for the intention of them seeing my resume.
And would they
Like,
call
remember,
you
like, I
for
didn't do
an
shit.
interview?
No, they never called me for an interview. I think it got to a point where like I even, this is so fucking petty and
Go
wrong, and
for
I
it, man.
don't
No
encourage
judgment
anyone to
here.
do this. I think I applied four times, and then the last, and this is where I literally had to accept that I had ADHD because this also had to do with like rejection sensitivity too.
Yeah, me
But
too.
like, like literally, like it's like, okay, they're wrong, but at some point you could just let the stupid chick go. Like, come on. But I literally sent in my cover letter, like, am I qualified now? And then, but then they like, and like when I tell you I did shit, but then like I revamped like their whole like, I revamped their whole transitional living program as an intern. Like I wrote their policies, I redid their policies, I did old, I did some shit
They
while I was
used you.
there.
They
Okay,
used you.
they basically used me for free labor. Yeah. Well, then what's funny is like, so I did this for 2 years straight, and then I stopped. A year later, that whole program I kept applying to, it went out of business.
Wow.
Yeah. So it
Did
was
that give you
like.
like a feel good feeling?
Like a little,
Yeah.
like a little bit. But then later it pissed me off because then it was like I found out later that a lot of the programs that I put in place, like a year or two later, they just got rid of anyway. And it's actually what caused them to like lose a lot of their grants and then eventually decided them to shut down. So it was like, so it's one of those things where it's like, it's one of those things where it's like, haha, like you went out of business because you didn't hire me. But then it was also like, fuck, like I could have saved this whole fucking sinking ship too. Same thing too.
Learning
But I
there.
did, but I did, but I, but I did the same thing pettily. Like when I got fired from a job at Kmart when I was like 19, and I don't even know why I got fired from that job either. Like it was just like whenever you get fired, they never tell you why.
Yep,
So
I've
they
been there.
like,
I've
I've
been there,
learned this. Like
dude.
I thought there'd be a whole thing why you get, they never tell you the fuck why. So I'm like, okay, whatever. But like they let me go from Kmart. And I was like a cashier there. It wasn't anything serious. And like, not even 3 months later, they went out of business. But so
So
it
yeah,
was like,
you
so
should feel bad.
my friends made up like because I was like getting like the best customer service reviews there too. They were literally like, they literally went out of business because they fired you.
Right.
And like, which I'm sure, which.
I gotta ask you, how did they fire you? Because I'll tell you a couple of stories where they didn't even have the balls to like tell me to my face that I'm fired. So they just started taking away my hours, and then all of a sudden I had like no hours on the schedule. So I'm like, well, what the fuck does this mean? Like,
You're talking about like at Kmart?
huh?
At Kmart? Like when how I got
No,
fired?
I'm just telling you when I worked. I had a couple places. So like this, actually, they
Oh.
both were the same thing. They were Wendy's
Yeah.
and Subway. They both did the same shit. Actually, at least the Subway's lady had some courage to like call me like 2 weeks after I wasn't there anymore. To say, oh yeah, I just didn't think you were like a good fit or whatever. And I should have just been like, well, at least could you have said it to my face rather than just slowly take my hours away and then wait 2 weeks until I stop showing up, then you call me.
Well, then at that point, like they technically—I don't know how that works legally. Because I'm like, did they really fire you, or did you technically just walk off the job and never come back?
Yeah, because I'm like, well, there's no hours on my schedule, and it's a coward way. It's such a coward way to do it.
Yeah, I know. Like when I was at Kmart, literally, they just like they literally pulled me in, and they were like, and they just sat me down. And they asked me like a lot of questions or whatever. And they were like, do you, they didn't even tell me like what it was about, but they were like, do you like working here? Do you enjoy this? Do you whatever, whatever? And I was like, yeah, cool. And I'm just like, you know, I'm fucking 19. I'm fucking clueless. I don't know what's happening. I'm just happy to be there. I just thought they were checking in because I'm new. And then like it got like really weird, and like they started asking like weird interrogative questions. I don't know if they thought I stole something. I don't know what the fuck they thought I did, but they never told me what I did. And then like they came, and then they came back and they're like, yeah, we're gonna ask for your badge. And I was like, what did I do? And they're like, nope, we just need to ask for your badge. I'm like, okay. So I don't know if someone said something about me. I don't know what that was about to this day.
They still need to tell you.
But I was like, I know, because I was like, the way they were acting, it was just weird. But honestly, when I worked at Kmart, it was like, this is so not about what we're talking anymore. I don't care anymore. But like, I know, because I'm like, I'm just like reflecting on everything in the last 10 years, and they all kind of go like, it doesn't matter what job you get, what degree you get, they all act the fucking same, and it's so fucking weird. But like, they ended up like letting me go. They were very just weird and generic about it, and didn't really tell me what, but very odd and interrogative. And I didn't, and I honestly, I was more, again, this goes back into rejection sensitivity. I didn't really even care that I didn't have income now, because I had two other jobs. I had like another part-time job, and I had like an on-call job I was doing. So I always knew how to make money. But no,
I have to tell you, not just cut you off, I have that rejection thing towards women where when I know, like when I'm trying to date this girl or a woman, and I know I'm about to get rejected or whatever, I would want to reject myself first and be like, I'll straight up just tell them, okay, I get the feeling you don't like me anymore, and I'm going to tell you the reason why you don't like me. So, and I don't know what that is about me that I do that. There's some issues there, I'll admit. But I'll because it's just I sense they're going to reject me, so I want to be the first one to be like, hey, I know you don't like me, so let's just call it quits, whatever, this and that. And
have you ever been wrong, though, and then it got really awkward?
Honestly, like, no. Well, I'll tell you this one really... And I wish I was. So, have I been wrong regarding that in other areas other than dating? Yeah. But there's this one time where I was totally in the friend zone, but I was like 21 and I didn't want to admit it. I was like fighting it, but it was just so obvious because like I was all over this girl, but she was just like talking about other dudes that she dated and some other sexual shit that I will not like get into. Or that should have been a sign there, like, dude, she's not into you. And then she's like, actually, there was a couple incidents like that, not with her, but and then she's like, oh, you should like date this one girl. And it was like some, like, let's say not so attractive, like subway girl or whatever. I was like, and I was like, no. Just like, she's just throwing it into my face, like friend zone.
Yeah. And
what really did it was she's like, you know what kind of relationship I would want us to have like a friend's relationship where if you had a girlfriend and you're kind of being asked to her, you can come to me for advice about her. And I'd be like, Jake, you're being a dick. And then I can come to you if I'm having issues with my boyfriend. And I still didn't want to give up on it. I'm like, no, I won't let this. So finally that night she called me and she's just like, Jake, do you like me? And I was courageous. And I said, yeah. But I'm feeling it, but I just, you know what I tell her? I'm like, you know what? I know it's obvious though. You're not into me and you don't like me that way. So I understand, whatever. So then she's just like, well, do you want me to like, tell me what I think? I'm like, oh, I could be wrong. And what she said to me, she's like, yeah, I just think of you as a friend. I was like, I just fucking said that to you. Why did you put me in that suspense and just give me the same answer I just gave you? It's because I think she wanted to be the one to reject me and not me just saying, hey, I get it. No, it's cool.
I don't know. I hate to say it, no human takes rejection well, and I don't care what anyone says.
Right. But like, in her defense, it's like I was naive. I was like 21. It's like, I'm like, no, I want to believe in it. It's just like, dude, come on. You're a brother to her, man. Like, accept it, move on. But I didn't want to.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Shit. Oh, what do you want? Oh shit, what time is it? 7:22?
I got like 10 or 15 more minutes we can do too.
Okay. This would be cool. We can make this into an episode. I just gotta do some editing.
Do what you gotta do. I'm like trying to think where else I can go with this too, because we've talked about so much and I'm like, I don't know where to go now.
But did we kind of got into like professionalism, right? And like Derek
Well,
Gustafson?
going back into the professionalism stuff too. I mean, I think that one of the things like that is happening right now is like, again, people, a lot of people, especially in the younger generation, when they come to therapy, they don't want a therapist that wears like, cardigans or slacks or polo shirts or whatever people are wearing nowadays. Like when I go to work, especially now that it's fall, I wear my fitted sweats, I wear my graphic hoodies, and I wear my snapbacks. And I
Nice.
have yet to have a single client or parent complain about any of this. They don't care. They do not care. I've been told that they're more comfortable with something like this at this point. They want to work with somebody that's more of like, not that they could see themselves in me, because I think that's like obviously transparency a little bit, but like they can tell that they're working with an actual person and they're not just working with someone that's like just analyzing them. Like obviously we are analyzing them a little bit, but like, it's one of the things they want a human connection. I mean, this is something that I tell like my therapists who work with me for social media branding. A lot of therapists, what they'll do is they'll hide behind their private practice name and in their branding instead of showing themselves and speaking and showing their faces and doing all these things. And I keep telling people don't want to work with brands anymore. They want to work with people.
Exactly, and the human being itself, and a lot of times too, what I've seen is like therapists will struggle turning therapy so and so off, and they'll go about their lives. It's like I never want to be like that. Fine, if I'm going to be work Jake, fine, I'll be professional work Jake. But when I'm leaving, I'm Jacob, and it irritates me when my friends and family's like know that I'm a therapist, and they're like, "Oh, are you analyzing me, or this and that?" Or I've even had women like when I would go on dates with, were like, "Yeah, no, I was really hesitant to go on a date with you because you were a therapist, and I didn't want to because I thought you'd be analyzing me, and I didn't like that." So it's just like on my dating profile, do I need to put like I'm not a therapist anymore for like people to go out with me?
I would act, you know what? I got to, at some point, I just stopped giving a fuck, really, because if you're gonna like me, you're gonna like me. If you don't, you don't. And now I'm married, so whatever, like it worked out. But
That's,
like,
yeah, good point.
it, but, yeah, but like before that, like for about a year or two, I think I put like the most boring thing possible, and I can't remember what the frick I put, but I think I put like, I don't know. I like thought of like what my job is outside of therapy, and I was like documentation analysis or something weird. Just something weird that you don't know what it is, but it sounds like it makes money and it sounds like it's professional and it sounds like it's a somewhat real. So yeah, and they were like, so what? They're like, what do you do? And I said, well, I said I meet with, I said I meet, I meet sometimes I meet with. I tell them exactly what I do. I said I meet with kids and I hang out with them a little bit. And then I write a report on what I saw, and then I would, make sure the report was accurate, and I would analyze it. And occasionally, I have to read a report that someone else gave me, and make sure everything looks right. And they'd be like thinking that it was like the coolest job ever, having no idea that this is
That's
actually this.
so funny.
I
What do you think about
know.
putting professional
Wait,
mind
what?
reader?
Yeah, professional mind reader
Oh,
for
that's
sure.
funny. Oh man. Shit, yeah, that reminds me. Oh, like so tomorrow I gotta go to see that's here's another thing. I don't know if this is like an ADHD thing, but like I'm super like sensitive and I feel bad for people when I shouldn't, where now tomorrow I gotta go to like the Zion Healing Place and tell them, yeah, I'm not gonna be working with you. I'm gonna take this supervisor job. Because again, it's just like they're not paying me. And it's just like, hey, I gotta do what's best for me. And it's weird because like I feel guilty for them because like I'm leaving them even though I haven't really done anything for them.
Right, exactly. Well, I mean, at the end of the day, like it is like a business thing too, but I think that is an ADHD thing. Like we have, well, along with rejection sensitivity, if you're already sensitive to like people rejecting you, you are gonna be on top of it not wanting to experience, it's not experience rejection. You, what am I trying to say? You don't want to give out rejection. That's what I'm trying to say. You don't want to give out rejection. You don't want to be, because you know what that's like, right? Because if you, because you're putting yourself in their shoes. The thing about that is, if you put yourself in their shoes like way too much, then it's going to stop you from making good business decisions for yourself. But then also like the job that you got coming up right now, where it's like, hey, I'm gonna take this role, you'd have to like reject them too. You know what I mean?
And I'm not going to reject a job that's going to give me a salary and benefits over a job that's just, I'm pretty much a contractor.
Which if you were going to be a, which I'm pro contracting. I really am pro contract. I mean, not for them, because they don't provide. I mean, if you're going to be a contractor, you might want to be a contractor with someone that's going
Who has
to,
client?
provide you. Yeah, who has a client? Who has a client? Right? Although that gives me faith for like my practice, because I do want to get people to contract with me, and I'm looking for people who like, you know, like maybe don't want to be full time. They just want to earn the shit. So I'm literally like, oh my God, I can hire people without clients. Oh my God, like I did not think about that. But like, no, I get that, right? I mean, you're looking for something full time. You're looking for something for your own needs right now that's gonna be with you. So I think that going into it, just knowing that you're doing what's best for you in your life right now, I think it's gonna help. But you have to separate the personalization from it and actually think of it as a business decision. Like if you role play yourself as like making a business decision and like, I don't know, like pretend you're like, I don't know, I tell people this when they go on the job interviews, like pretend you're like on an episode of like The Apprentice or something. And then like you're trying to make a deal. Like that's what you need to be playing.
You
I don't
gotta
know.
take
It works
your
for a lot of people. It works for a lot of people with ADHD because like they love playtime and they love like fantasy and they love getting lost and things. So if you tell them to play a role like that, they will. And so I say go into it like that.
Oh, for sure. And it's just weird because like
I know.
because you've done this, I'm sure too, right? But it's like I still want to have a working relationship with them where they liked my podcast and they're like, well, hey, well, when I talked to Caroline, she's just like, you know, do a thing with a mental health company where you mention them in your podcast and put their link on your show notes and have them give you like $25 an episode and do like a minimum contract of like 12 episodes.
Yeah.
So, and have you done that yet with your stuff?
No, I haven't done that with anyone of my stuff yet. But that's because I self-promote my stuff. So like I would do that. Like if I had a podcast or listen, I tried having a podcast. I'm gonna tell you right now, I hated that shit. Like I like doing the podcast. I don't like doing all the editing. So it's actually I thought it'd be easier than YouTube and it's not. Like it's actually more boring. It's actually more like I love that you do it. But it's more boring because I have nothing to actually watch. I have like something to only listen to, and it does not stimulate me at all.
My biggest annoyance, and I mean, I'm not saying anything about it, well, my special guest, because I do this too, but it's like the long spaces and the and having to delete all those out takes
My
so
God.
much time. But I know some podcasters that don't do editing because they say it takes away from like the natural beauty of the flow of
Yeah.
it. Like Joe Rogan, I don't think does a lot of editing per
But Joe
se.
Rogan also films like 4 hours of a real conversation
And he
too.
gets away with it too, because he's Joe Rogan. He's like big time.
Yeah, he gets away with it, they can do whatever he wants. So it's like whatever. I personally don't care because I think that what's really funny is because I a lot or I have to think because of the speech. I probably don't even notice when someone does it.
Well, and I'll do it too. So that's why I have some empathy for my guests. But at the same time, it's like somebody needs to edit all that stuff out for 45 minutes straight, and that's going to be most likely me.
I know. Well, you think it doesn't like take a lot of energy to actually do that, but like when you have like 45 minutes a week you're doing, you're just like, damn, like that's like a lot of time a week to do this.
You can pay people to do it. Have you ever heard of like Fiverr?
I've heard of it, but I can't. I've never went on it. I gotta see how much it would be to do that because I want to hire a video editor for me.
Yeah, they have a lot of those, and they have like podcast editors, and they have people that do your show notes for you.
Yeah, oh my God, that'd be really cool. But see, when I do it for YouTube, like my thing is like when I want to do a video editor, like I don't want to pay someone like I just say like this because like they do good work and whatever. So it's not like I can't, it's not like I don't want to, but it's like because I'm new, I'm like, I don't want to pay someone $100 for like them not watching my videos at first, you know? I don't know. I don't know. It's like a weird, but I've heard of some of them, they'll do it for like $20 because like they have a system where they do it in like 15 minutes or something weird and they do like basic shit.
That's like, see, that's all I want. Just like get rid of my ums and my spacings, and we're good. That's all I care about.
That's all I need. Like for me, I just need the story. I need the story in my videos to flow. And then like, what's funny is like I could put the B roll in. Like I
The B
like doing
roll?
that.
What's the B
Yeah,
roll?
oh, I love the part where you put like a video on top of a video and like you make like a scene out of it.
See, you gotta teach me how to do that, man. You gotta teach me how to do that
I
stuff.
got you. Well, that's the cool thing of TikTok. You don't have to do all that on TikTok. It's like it. The app is made for people who are like imperfect when it comes to this kind of stuff. So you make like basic little videos and whatnot. And like, yeah, I'm gonna pull up my TikTok real quick and see what's happening on it too.
Well, dude,
Yeah, see, this is why I'm telling.
what do you
Okay,
think
anyway.
about doing like a this kick-ass live thing with me? It doesn't have to be this week, but like sometime in the near future about. So I have this thing called StreamYard, right? So I'll send you a link So then me and you will be on the screen together, right? And we're gonna be playing this video, and we can react off of videos like anything. Like anything, like what was I talking about? Like therapist reaction. Like the Caden Warren stuff I was talking to you about. And we post that shit on LinkedIn. So we're both live on LinkedIn reacting to some Caden Warren stuff with all of our listeners watching us.
I'd love to do that, actually.
Dude, you wanna?
I'd love to do that, honestly.
I'll send you the Caden Warren videos. So you get an idea of what they are about first.
Yeah.
Tell me what you think. And dude, I want to do that with you.
Oh my God, we're gonna do that soon. You said we're gonna do it on LinkedIn.
We can technically do it on Facebook, LinkedIn, whatever you want.
Wait, can you do it on like multiple platforms at the same? I've never done this. So it's like you do it on multiple platforms.
So StreamYard, so it'll be under my StreamYard account. So, and again, I've never done this before, but again, I'll send you the link. And I think you click on the link and then you'll be transported to my StreamYard. So I'll click the live button and it'll be recording live. So before I hit the live button, they give you a choice. Do you want to do LinkedIn? Do you want to do a Facebook Live? Do you want to do maybe Instagram or whatever? And I'll just click which ones we want to do.
Oh my God, we'll have to do this soon. I want to do it soon. I don't know when I can do this though.
It doesn't have to be Caden Moore. Do you like know of any cool videos we could like therapist react to? It could be anything.
You know what's really funny? I really don't. The only reason I don't like watch a lot of therapist videos. It's funny. Like I, for the most part, unless I need something, like I just leave that space. And, like actually, a lot of my content that I watch like how to grow on social media shit.
Yeah.
Which is how I've gotten my TikTok so high too. So I mean, the shit works.
Well, another thing I think I need to consider too is when therapists do those reaction videos, they're not playing the whole episode all up front. I think they're just doing like certain pieces, bits and pieces. So then maybe I could work on that, and I can get like a line or like something going.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I got.
Okay, that'd be pretty cool. Oh my God, dude! I just like refreshed the screen. Like my video just went up like 20,000. And like the
your TikTok.
Yeah,
dude, I gotta check out your TikTok.
Yeah, go check it out.
And if I add you as a friend on TikTok, whatever, you'll see what I'm working with. And
yeah,
it's nothing too impressive.
You might already be on. I thought you were already on there, but I really
probably could. I mean, yeah. Actually, let me look you up right now. My phone's right here.
Look me up. Give me like a review of what you think, so that they know. Like I said, right now it's a lot of family drama stuff. It's a lot of like, Thanksgiving holiday clapback videos, some of that. I think one or two ADHD videos up right now, but like a lot of it really is mainly, it's either ADHD trauma or like teaching therapists how to like leave the 9 to 5 and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. So it's like a good mix of things for people.
How do you pronounce your last name, Jilla?
Gillespie.
Gillespie.
Hey Cindy, how was work today?
Got it.
Okay, so that one you just heard is literally like the one where I like Becky called me. Basically, I made up the story of like Becky called me fat, and so I ran to the bathroom. And I was like, okay, so Becky just called me fat. Do I just kind of like, do I let this go, or do I just tell Cindy that like Jim's not her daddy type shit? And this like became a whole thing on the page. So now it's like a series.
It hits home though. Like that's what's gonna get you, I think, big is just like doing content that really hits home to some people, and they got like a lot of things to say about it. Like
I'm trying to think. No, for real. Well, the thing about content creation too is I think that people like when you go into it, whether it's a TikTok or a YouTube or a podcast or just anything, right? You have to develop thick skin, and especially if you're gonna do TikTok. Like podcast is kind of like okay, like you put up the audio and. I don't know who's emailing you the review, but like maybe they'll put it on your Instagram page.
TikTok.
Yeah. On TikTok, like you get like overwhelming support on TikTok, but you also get a lot of people who are just like mean.
For no reason.
You have like people who are mean for like no reason. Like literally in these videos, I've had like out of every like 10 comments, at least 2 of them are saying like, you do need to lose some weight, you fat.
Oh my God.
But it's like so funny. It's like so funny to me, and it probably shouldn't be. But like, dude, like I was bullied like a lot of my childhood. So to me, like you see these comments, I'm like, there's nothing you can fucking say to me. that is like going to like.
You learn that as a tattoo at a treatment center because I've been called every name in the book because I'm like balding. Or I'd be like Mr. Clean, 8 head, 5 head. This one I did. It took me a long time to get a Whopper.
Yeah.
You know that chocolate ball?
Yeah.
You take a bite out of it and that's me.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Because I don't, the hairline, I think.
Yeah, or something like that.
So I didn't get the Whopper thing right away. Yeah, so.
The greatest insult I ever heard from somebody, it was a tech, and they came into the therapist's office. And I have to give context to this because people are going to be like, what the hell are you talking about? So, like, I have to give context. So, like, the person who came in, they were black, and literally one of the kids called him a burnt black – I think they called him a burnt black fat-ass biscuit bitch.
Oh, my God.
Oh. And, like, he thought it was the funniest thing ever. Oh. And we were just like, how do you feel about that? And he's just like, I guess I'm a burnt black fat biscuit bitch today. I don't know.
Oh, man. Yeah. Yeah. You definitely need thick skin.
It's all like, honestly, with kids, you need thick. You get, well, that's the thing with TikTok. Like, I can't tell because everybody's like a faceless profile. So I am mindful of what I say unless I can kind of confirm who you are. But like, I feel like most of it's like kids, like just saying something.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's like this, because honestly, like it's not too far from home from like when I hit a MySpace and like we would comment stupid crap. So it's like I can always tell when it's an actual adult who's offended by something stupid again. Because like I have like a bunch of adults right now on my Cindy, Becky, all these videos. They like think this is real. Okay. Oh. So they're like, you're an asshole for ruining your cousin's birthday and you're just this petty little, but like, I can tell when that's like somebody who's just like delirious and clueless. And then like when a kid's on there, usually it's the kids calling me fat.
Yeah.
So it's
Dude, kids are worse than the adults, man. Like when I when I was interning at like an adult, like treatment center, whatever, they're like, oh, be careful this and that. And it's like, do you know where I've worked before at so-and-so adolescent treatment center? It's like, no, I'm good. I'm good.
Yeah, I'm good.
Yep.
Oh my God.
All right. Yeah. Okay. So, how are my listeners going to get a hold of you?
So, your listeners can get a hold of me either through my Instagram or my TikTok. So they can follow me at Justin Gillespie, LMSW. They can also find me on my website at www.justingillespielmsw.com. They can also find me at my business, thrivingenhancedservices.com, if they want to learn more about that. So, through my business, I do private practice therapy in the state of Michigan. We help a lot of people with ADHD, executive functioning, parenting support for their kids with ADHD, all that kind of stuff. I don't know if you can hear that. That's my dog whining. He's like ready to wrap this up, actually. Oh. He's been in here the whole time.
Yeah.
But that's how people can find me. And then also for any therapists who are looking to expand their social media presence for their practice or business, and they want to do it in a way that's profitable as well as fun, and you can keep your authentic self, and you can also do this ethically, because I think that's super important too, they can contact me too. Because I think therapists think they can't be on social media, and they absolutely can.
Dude, this episode was awesome. It was out of the box. I want to keep doing more of them with you. I want to keep doing other shit with you. Thank you, man.
I want to come back. This is like the funnest.
We'll come back.
I want to come back.
You are welcome to come back, sir. Yes, you are.
I again want to thank Justin for being an awesome and amazing special guest on my show. I plan to work with him a lot more in the future, and I'm super excited for those opportunities. And please, everyone, please check out Justin's new podcast called House of ADHD. It is a must-listen-to podcast. I'm super excited to be announcing it. Also, stay tuned for his new book coming out in the next couple of months.
Be taking his therapeutic advice. If you do find yourself struggling with any type of mental health or addiction issues,
I just want to thank all of my listeners for your support. And just to inform everyone that the information expressed in this episode was not meant to be taken as therapeutic advice. If you do find yourself struggling with any type of mental health or addiction issues, please seek the care of a medical doctor or a licensed mental health therapist. And if anyone has any further questions for me, you can reach me at my email address, behaviorhealthintegration121@gmail.com. You can also find me on LinkedIn at Jacob Minig, where you will find more educational posts on psychotherapy, trauma, and addiction. And finally, you can follow me on my website, which is behaviorhealthintegration.org. I also want to inform everyone that there is a great new device out there called Comigo. It's a breathing device meant to control and manage your breathing rates and the depth of your breathing as you inhale and exhale to, again, help relieve any type of anxiety and stress-like symptoms. And if you do put the BHI podcast into the promo code, you get $30 off this amazing device. It is a once-in-a-lifetime deal, and you will not be disappointed. All right, everyone. Until next time, have a good day. Bye.